We are very close to Tisha B'Av, and we have a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Nun Dalid Amid Aleph, where the Gemara tells us, Shiva Dvarim, there are seven different items in the world that were Nivru Lifnei Briyas HaOlam. They were created before the actual world was created. And one of the items mentioned on that list is the Beis HaMikdash, which is learned from a Pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah, Kisei Kavod Marom Merishom Makom Mikdashenu. We have an understanding that this was created before the entire world was created, along with a number of other items that were created as well before creation itself. So the Iyun Yaakov there tries to explain why is this the case. And he says that it must be because having a Beis HaMikdash is not just another aspect of life. Having a Beis HaMikdash is not just another item that, oh, it happens to be, it's missing now that we have a Churban. But says the Iyun Yaakov, no, the Beis HaMikdash is the foundation. Beis HaMikdash is the bedrock. The Beis HaMikdash is the essence, the soul, and the nucleus of the Jewish people, of everything that we're all about. And therefore, the Ribono Shel Olam said, we need to make sure that this is created before we even start with anything else, because without a Beis HaMikdash, there is no world. And that's what the Iyun Yaakov explains the Gemara is trying to teach us. Without a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have our existence being the one that it is supposed to be. Not just that we're lacking something, we are lacking everything. Our entire reality will be different when we have a Beis HaMikdash once again. So I am reminded of the Medrash that we have probably heard many times in Eicha Rabbasi. And it's a beautiful Medrash that I've always found to be very hard to understand. And it wasn't until I saw this interpretation that it finally made some sense to me. I don't know if it's the right interpretation, but it's something that spoke to me, and I hope it will speak to you as well. So the Pasuk says, Mizmar Lelokim, Bo Goyim Benachalasecha. Asaf sings a song. He thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim bo goyim benachalasecha. God, we are so happy that our enemies have come and entered into your Beis HaMikdash. And the Medrash asks, why are you singing about that? What are you so excited about? Shouldn't it have been more appropriate to say, Bechila Asaf? Asaf is crying over the fact that look what happened to God's beautiful Beis HaMikdash, to the temple. Kina la Asaf, he should be saying kinos. What does it mean, Mizmar la Asaf? What is he so excited about that bo goyim benachal asecha? And the Medrash writes as follows. Mashal lemelech she'asa beis chupa lebeno. You have a child who is the only child of a king. And the king always has been anticipating the day when this child will grow up and will finally get married. And because of that, he has his eye on a certain girl, on a princess out there somewhere that's one day going to marry his son. And he's been building for years and years the most beautiful wedding hall one can ever imagine, a palace, and it was something that was going to be the incredible place where this wedding would finally happen when the time came. Visida, and he goes, says the Medrash, and he plasters it, and he beautifies it, and he has all the artists from all over the world coming to make this the most amazing spectacle you can ever imagine. And then he says, as he's watching his child grow up, he realizes, Yatza beno letarbasra. Unfortunately, this child, my prince, the apple of my eye, who I know someday was supposed to be the one who would be the heir to the throne, who would take over my legacy and bring it forward, this child goes off on drugs, and he builds a life for himself that is not at all in line with what his father ever imagined for him, and he's off on his own, and the king is so frustrated, and he's so angry, and he tries to speak with him, and he's not getting anywhere, and he hires tutors for him, and he hires people to be there for him, and nothing's working, and he gets so upset, miyad, Allah HaMelech L'chupa, he goes to this beautiful place that he constructed, and he rips down the whole building, and he says, what is this worth for me? Why am I investing in this child to make this beautiful wedding hall that someday he'll use? Look what happened to my kid! This is not the kid I ever dreamt of, it's not the kid I ever wanted, and he's so upset, V'shibar HaSakanim, he breaks all of the wooden structure that they have there, V'natal pedagog shelo ibuv shalkanim v'hayim ezaber. And while the king is letting out all his frustration, he's so angry at his own son, and he's breaking down all of his years of work to build a beautiful home that he has for his child, the pedagog, who means the tutor of this child, the one who's closest to him, takes out his flute and he starts singing. And everybody says, isn't that an inappropriate response? What are you so happy about? Don't you see how much distress this child is putting his father under? Don't you understand that the king is suffering? Amar lehem, and he says, Mizamer ani, I am happy. And although it seems that everything's terrible, I am happy. Shahafach chupaso shalbeno, velo shafach chamaso albeno. As a king, he has a right to kill anyone who he chooses to kill. And he has every right, as crazy as it would sound, he has every right to kill his own child. After all, the child is going against the wishes of the king. And instead of killing his child, he has decided to destroy the edifice that he built for his child. How lucky can we be that at least this kid someday will have a shot at life and he'll have an opportunity to turn around? Who knows? Had the father taken all his wrath out and killed this child, who knows what would have ever been? And therefore he says, although I see that from the perspective that you all have, it seems that this is a very sad moment of life, but he says, I have to say, this is a very happy moment, because if you look at the overall perspective, this child's life was saved. And therefore, says the Medrash, Kach Amru LaAsaf, as the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer has his palace, Asaf is singing, Mizmar LaAsaf, and everybody asks, what are you singing about? And he says, no, I understand that it's terrible that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but he says, understand that instead of us being destroyed, instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying there should be no more Jewish people, let's just get rid of them from the world, he decided, Shafa Chamaso ala Eitzim ve'al Ha'avanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, you know what? We're going to limit this anger and take it out only on the Beis HaMikdash. We'll destroy a building, and it's a very important one, like the Gemara says. Like we're told, it was around from before Sheish Yimei Bereishis, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited it to only that, and he did not destroy the Jewish people, and here we are, thousands of years later, and we are still living the dream of Judaism, and we are on our way to a Geula, and therefore, says the Medrash, that is a reason to celebrate. Amongst all of the destruction, there's a reason that we are able to see something positive in all of that. Now, I always wondered this question, and I was so happy when I saw that there's a modern-day sefer that asks it. Maybe it's a modern-day kind of question, and that's why no one before asked it, but it's something that bothered me. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal here. In this Medrash, we say, almost like we would talk about a young child. So a child gets in a fight with his father, and the father's so angry, and the kid is getting on his nerves, and you have a teenager who everything the father says, doesn't matter how much it makes sense, the kid will just fight with him and argue just to fight, for no good reason. And he's driving his father up the walls, and the father gets so angry, and he has a temper tantrum, and he's about to punch his kid in the face, and he's about to really hurt him, and instead he decides, you know, picks up a chair and throws it at the floor. If you can imagine such a scene. So that's what it means. You're lucky that your father didn't punch you in the face and really hurt you, and instead he decided to take it out on a chair. Is that really the perspective that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Almost like he had a temper tantrum. So the Ribbono Shel Olam was on a rampage, he didn't know what to do, he had to take out his anger somewhere, and Asaf says, oh, aren't we lucky? Aren't we lucky that God took out his anger on a building instead of on all of us? What is this? You think the Ribbono Shel Olam is that shallow? Obviously this was with a calculation. It's not that, oh, along the way, while he was about to destroy the Jewish people, he happened to notice a Beis HaMikdash. You know what? Let me just throw the chair down, break the chair, break some window in the house, instead of killing my children. You think that's really what happened? The Ribbono Shel Olam was out of control. He couldn't figure out how to get his temper under control, and that's what he decided to do. Instead of killing his children, it can't be. So what is the pshat? What is this medrash all about? And I saw such a beautiful interpretation, where they give a mashal, and the mashal is to an artist who is spending years and years in his art of painting, and he's so proficient in his work. And here he is, spending all of his years doing all kinds of painting, and he sells them all over the world, and he realizes, you know, I'm getting older, and I need to leave something over for the world which will be my eternal and enduring legacy. I got to really dedicate a certain chunk of my life to make something that won't just be a painting like every other. This is going to be something that everyone in the world will remember, that I am the artist that nobody was able to match, that nobody was able to compare to. I am something very unique and very special. So he decides, he hangs up a sign, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be selling commercial paintings anymore. Now I'm dedicating a year and a half of my life to only focus on one painting. This is all I'm going to be doing all day and all night. And he realizes, if he does it in his regular studio, he's going to have the regular customers, the regular callers who are going to come and take away his attention from what he's supposed to be doing. So he decides, you know, I have an apprentice who works with me every day. I trust this man very much. He talks to him. He says, would you be willing to go with me for an entire year to the top of a mountain, which has a beautiful view, and we're going to spend all of our time there. And you're going to be in charge of all of the amenities that we need. You're going to be in charge of all the food. You're going to be in charge of taking care of everything else. This way I'll be able to dedicate a year of my life just to focus on this painting. I'm going to make something that you've never seen before, and this is what I'm going to leave over to the world. And he's all excited. The apprentice says, okay, I'm in. They go up to the top of this mountain. There's nobody there who can ever distract them. There's nobody there who can get in the way. And this painter is totally focused all day and all night on this painting. And he's working every single day, and he's working every single night, and he's all excited about it, and it's coming out beautiful. And after a number of months pass, He realizes it's really coming out to be something special. And he says, this is what I'm going to leave to the world. This is worthwhile. This is really something that was worth the investment of my time. And finally, with all those months and years of no distraction and no interruption and singular focus to diligently work on everything that needed to be done, he comes up with the most beautiful and exquisite painting. And he's looking at it and scrutinizing it. And then he realizes, you know, sometimes you can't look so carefully at every last detail. You have to take a step back to really appreciate what it is that has been created. So he starts stepping back and he says, wow, this is amazing. I'm going to change my glasses. I'm going to put on another pair. This is so amazing. And he keeps taking another step back, another step back, another step back. And he's looking and he says, this is the most unbelievable thing. His apprentice turns around. He's about to prepare lunch for him. And he says, oh my God, look what's happening. This painter's about to fall off the cliff. He's so enraptured. He's so engrossed and consumed in his painting, he doesn't realize he's taking it all in. He keeps stepping back. He's about to fall off the cliff. He's going to kill himself. And he starts shouting out at him, you better turn around. Look where you are. You're at the end of the cliff. And he's screaming and he's yelling and nothing's working. And finally he says, what am I going to do? I can't let the guy kill himself. And he has no choice. He takes a huge rock and he throws it at the painting. And he destroys the whole thing. And the painter comes out of this dream. He opens his eyes and he says, did I just see what I thought I saw? The apprentice says, yeah, unfortunately you did. Did you just destroy what I spent an entire year creating? This is my enduring legacy. What did you do? And he says, turn around. Turn around and you'll see. Your whole life was about to be destroyed. You're at the edge of the cliff. I had no choice. There was no way of waking you up from this trance. There was no way of getting your attention. I was trying. I was screaming. The only option left was to destroy the painting itself. That's the only way I could have gotten your attention, and I saved your life. Look what I did for you. Look how kind I am. I know it looks like I'm evil, but look how kind I am. Look what I just did. And the nimshal that they give is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that we had terrible violations, gross violations of Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim, horrible calamities were going on at the time, and Sinas Chinam, the Gemara says, nobody could get along. Terrible, you read the stories in the Agadata of the Churban, and you see how decadent the society was in that generation. And part of the evil perhaps was, the suggestion is, maybe part of the problem was that a Jew always knew, whatever it is that I do, I can make God as angry as possible, but comes Yom Kippur, and we have a Sar HaMishtaleach, like the Rambam says. You have this offering that is brought in the Beis HaMikdash. It makes no difference if I do tshuva. Makes no difference if I feel sorry for what I did. Makes no difference how egregious of an error I may have made during the year. The Ribono Shel Olam says, comes Yom Kippur, and Klal Yisrael is absolved of their sins. So that's a great life. I can do Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. I feel guilty for a couple of days, but then I got it out of my system. I did what I had to do, and I'll be fine. It will come Yom Kippur. I'll get away with it. It's okay. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to be makbid on kashrus, on taurus, on mishpacha. Why live the difficult life? It's fine. I'll do whatever I want all year long. It will come Yom Kippur. God will be okay with it. So in some way, the crutch was the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody was so focused on karbanos, Beis HaMikdash, that's what life is all about. Don't worry, you can always bring your karban chatos, karban asham, karban shlomim. Everything is okay. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you're too focused on the Beis HaMikdash. You don't realize you're missing the overall perspective. You're about to fall off the cliff. You're violating Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. I don't need your karbanos. It means nothing to me. If that's what you think the religion is all about, it's not about a relationship, it's just about whether or not you brought a karban today. That's not what I want. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was calling out to you, and I was trying everything that I possibly could to get your attention, get you out of the trance, and I realized the only way that I would be able to get you to come back into reality and understand what life is all about is by destroying your Beis HaMikdash. Like the apprentice who has to break down the painting because he says you're about to fall off a cliff and you don't even realize. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized we as a community were about to fall off a cliff. We lost perspective. We did not understand any longer what the objective was all about. Sometimes you get so focused on the religion that you lose perspective. Sometimes. And you don't understand. I remember there was a video going around. It was an awful video this year on Pesach time. I'm sure the same way it came to my WhatsApp 100 times from everybody, so too it went to all of yours, of a woman in a hotel program on Pesach who got so angry that they weren't serving the non-gebrux item in the hotel. I don't know if it's real or fake. It can't be real, but I don't know. I hope it's not real. And this woman starts throwing plates of food at the waiters and waitresses for not providing her with the non-gebrux food that she expected. And I was watching that video. I'm thinking of this. Here's a person who's literally falling off a cliff. She's so focused on the gebrucks and non-gebrucks, which is a minug. It's not even a din, it's a minug. And look what you're willing to do all for the religion. All in the name of the religion. And look how evil you are. Look how awful a person you're willing to be. Look how much of a chilul Hashem you're willing to make, all because of the religion. All because this is what God wants of me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes says, there are generations where I have no option. The only way to wake you up is Shafa Hamaso ala Eitzim Ba'avanim. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu having a temper tantrum, he can't control himself, but it's rather his only option left. It's the only recourse that he has to really get the focus back to where it needs to be, and to really remind us that we need to once again study what it is and what it really means to be a Jew. What are the qualifications necessary to live a life as a Jew? What is the objective of living life as a Jew? It's not just about the religion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. It's not just a focus on Beis Hamikdash. It's not just the Karbanos. Don't lose perspective. Look at all that's going on around you and realize if you only turn around, you're about to fall off a cliff. And the only way to realize and put everything back into focus is, I'm going to take away that Beis Hamikdash. And then you'll realize when you do something wrong, you're going to be held accountable for that forever. And the only way to get around it is Karbanos, and you don't have Karbanos today. It's not an option anymore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says perhaps that will be the way to refocus the attention of the Jewish people to a place where ultimately it needs to be once again.